To the Library Air. I am the librarian host, Tabitha Pope. This is a copyrighted and trademarked podcast owned solely by Writers on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC, on the web at writersontheair.com. Thank you for tuning in to main event today. The second broadcast of the evening. I'm super excited on the fabulous Candace Havens, whom I had the pleasure of meeting back in October at our local chapters of America, our local conference. Maybe a little bit about this. She's a best-selling author of more than 20 books. Her novels have received mentions for the Readers Medallion Awards and National Choice Awards. She is a Barbara Wilson Award winner. She is the author of the Buffy, the genius behind Buffy, and a contributor to several anthologies. She also leading entertainment journalist has studies from Georgia. Her entertainment films are syndicated by FYI Television. She is executive editor and editorial director. Correct me on this when we figure out for the Embrace and Indulgence lines at Entangled Painting. This also runs a free shop. My link right here on comprehensive classes, interviews with Hawkeye and the on 96.3 KSCS, and is a former president of the Television Critics Association. You can find out more about Candace and her books on her website, which is simply www.candacehavens.com. And let me bring her on the show and welcome Candace.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. Welcome to winter in Texas.
I know, right? We're actually having winter right now. It's so weird.
It is weird. When I saw that the high was only going to be in the 40s today, I was like, what? It's here? Really? I didn't think it was ever coming.
I know. I actually put a hoodie on today. It's crazy.
Yeah. And for those of you not familiar with Texas, we wear shorts pretty much year round. So this is very strange for us.
It is very weird. You have to wear the long pants. That's right.
That's right.
Long pants on today.
Well, I will fully admit to staying in my pajama pants all day long because they were extra warm. So there we go. Stay home, mom. So you are a busy, busy woman. And I've copied your biography and here. Correct me if I'm you now the editorial director just over the two lines.
It's super spotty. I couldn't quite hear you about the two lines. I'm over at Entangled. Is that what you asked? Okay, you're cutting out on me big time. I couldn't hear you. I'm hoping you said yes. I'm over Embrace, which is our new adult line. But I acquired for all of our lines. For the new adult line, I kind of oversee everything. And then I also am executive editor, so I oversee all of the editors at the company. It keeps me super busy. And it's a whole different side of the brain. As I've talked about in my classes, those editing skills versus the writer skills. But I love it. And I love helping authors create books. Jen Blackwood, who wrote the rule book, and Nita Cross. I just had to give her away because she's awesome. But I have a Diane Albert. You just talked to Diane, right? She's one of my authors. I love them. I love working with them. I don't work with as many authors as I was, but my group that I have is just amazing.
Yeah. Outside of the round, and you frequent different like that. So you're a busy, busy woman.
Yeah, I am. There's a lot of different sides to my life. I'm a TV and film critic, right? So I head out to LA and do stuff out there, and then get to interview the celebrities. I've been doing that. Actually, I've been talking to a lot of TV people just the last 2 days and have more tomorrow. for all the different columns that I still write. It's another side of my life. But all the new TV shows coming up in January, you know, the shows that didn't make it in the fall are being replaced, right? So I've been talking to all those guys right before the holidays because I know I'm not going to get them, you know, over Christmas or New Year's. So I've got to talk to them now. So, yeah, tomorrow, Vincent D'Onofrio, I'm really looking forward to talking to him for that Emerald City, the take on new take on the Wizard of Oz. Yeah, it's a pretty good show. I like it. Yeah.
Do they access things?
Are the actors? I missed that last. I'm sorry, cutting out on me really bad.
Digital radio. do you get? Do they give you early access to those new, like, edits and couple of?
Yeah. Yeah, I just I just watched I think two or three episodes of Emerald City, which I, like I said, I really liked. And I'm really stuck on this new show. I talked to the executive producer today, and then I talked to one of the stars tomorrow about Beyond, which is a new show coming up on Freeform. So I don't know. I just it's fun, and yes, I get early access to everything. Film, movies, you know, all that kind of stuff, and also television. It's one of the perks of the job, and one of the reasons I keep doing it, right?
Right? Yeah, it's got perks. Who have you failed over the most in your interviews?
Who have I what over the most?
Fangirl. You know, fan.
Totally. It keeps cutting out right at the like most. I feel like I'm having one of those phone calls that you have in dreams where someone wants to give you $10 million, but you can't exactly hear what they're how to get it. Like every other word just goes, you know, to the side or something. So I apologize. I keep saying what? Sorry about that.
It's okay. Not you.
I totally forgot the question now. Fangirl. Absolutely. I have weird kind of fangirl things, and people are going to think I'm insane. So Julie Andrews, who played Mary Poppins, right? I've been doing this for 26 years. I don't get tongue-tied. I can talk to anybody. I'm actually super shy, but this is my job, so I can do it. I can talk to anybody. But I get really tongue-tied around Julie Andrews. And then also Bob Newhart, who is one of the most brilliant men you will ever meet. He's so smart and so funny and so 100 steps ahead of you all the time. And interviewing him is one of my favorite things to do and one of the toughest because I just feel like I have to really, really be on my game. And then the other one is everybody's going to laugh at me, but it's Hugh Laurie. I don't know why. You know, he played House. He was House, right?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, like, I talk to a lot of Brits, and I love that accent. And, like, Idris Elba and all those guys, love them. But it's something about Hugh Laurie that just gets me tongue-tied. I don't know what it is. I think he's a handsome man, but I'm not, like, it's not that. It's like, I don't know. He's an awesome actor. And I think because I saw him years and years ago when I was younger as Blackadder on, like, an old PBS station in Houston or something when I lived there. And that just stuck with me. Like, I idolized him back then because I thought he was so funny. Guys who make me laugh do it for me. It's one of the reasons I'm married to my husband. He makes me laugh. He's crazy and drives me insane, but he makes me laugh. So.
I understand completely. And yes, I could see that about him. Hugh Laurie has a very strong, aura about his personality
Yeah, he's also incredibly kind, you know, and very well read, very much a Renaissance man, plays jazz music and all that kind of stuff. And I just have a great deal of respect for him and the way he acts as a human being kind of thing. And, you know, I don't know. I guess that's what it is. But it's just funny. He's very sweet to me because for some reason he seems to understand that I get tongue-tied around him. And I just, you know. And one day I was on the phone with him and my dog threw up behind me. That was the worst telephone. There's nothing quite like a 150-pound Great Dane going behind you. It makes, you know, someone impressed with your professional skills. Let's just say that. He was quite kind, though. Quite kind.
That's good. So, well, I have to ask then, why you want to write rather than maybe writing for the screen, big or little, because you've got this huge background in all of the entertainment industry.
Right. So I don't know. I guess the whole reason I got into writing novels and fiction in the first place, I was at a Hollywood party, actually in the Pasadena. It wasn't truly Hollywood, but it was a Hollywood party for ABC, and I tripped and fell into the arms of Jim Belushi. And he caught me with a giant oomph, you know, like kept me from face planting in the ground. And I wasn't drunk. I had not been drinking. I just want to set, you know, make sure everybody understands that. But they had divots in the lawn. It was outside, and I just tripped on a divot basically in my, whatever shoes I had on. And I ran to the corner, and, I was very embarrassed. They were very sweet and very kind. I wanted to make sure I was okay. And I was, and then I ran away. And then my friends started talking to me about books to sort of take my mind off of the horrible thing that had just happened. And she's like, you should write a romance novel. And it's something that I kind of had always thought about. And I went home and wrote one. It was really bad, really, really bad. But I did. And I figured out I could do that. And I don't know. I love romance and losing myself in that world, whether it be young adult books or whether it be the adult books I write. And I just like that. I'm not ruling out, you know, being a screenwriter someday when I grow up. But for right now, I like to do everything. Obviously, I am doing everything. But I also get bored really easy. So kind of flitting around to all these different things is the way I like to live my life. And it's a bit chaotic sometimes, but I love it. But books, I can lose myself in those worlds. And that's my happy place, for sure.
What genre do you stick to? Read? Do you have a preference? Contemporary junkie or?
No, I like everything. Seriously, I know people say that, but they don't really mean it, but I do. I like everything from historical, romance, historical fiction, to mainstream fiction. One day I might be reading that, oh my gosh, what's it called? New YA. It was number one. I listened to it on the way to Wisconsin. Oh my gosh, the Jack the Ripper one with a young girl. I can't think of its title right now. So one day I might be listening to that. The next day I might be reading Jasper Ford. I'm rereading all the Jasper Ford books, which I just love. The next day I may be reading some hot, super hot contemporary new adult romance or sci-fi fantasy. I read it all. I think that's where that editor thing comes in, where I just want to see a great story, right? I don't care how it comes about. I just want to see a great story. I'm stuck on young adult. I read probably 3 or 4 young adult books a month at least outside of my regular kind of job thing. Or listen to them in my car on my road trips that I like to take. But yeah, I really do. And I love nonfiction as well. I love biographies. I think it's fascinating peek into people's lives, right?
Is that what brought you to writing one, Joss Whedon? Because you were just
somebody asked me to. That's so old. Hey. That's how I got into that. Yeah. So I had had a meeting for a job, at a publishing company. And we both kind of figured out during the interview that it really, because I wanted to work at home and he needed someone in Dallas, and I really didn't want to leave my kids at that time. They were very young. And so we kind of figured out that wasn't going to work out. But he called me the next day and he's like, you've been talking to Joss Whedon for 7 years. Do you think you could write a book about him? And I'm Candy Havens. I'm Candy Havens. This is what I do. I say, of course I could. You know, no problem. And then I hang up the phone and start bawling and crying. Oh my God, I don't know how to write a book. You know, that's how I roll. You know, I never say no to opportunities. And that's how everything, I'm on the radio here with one of the largest country stations in Texas, a KSCS 96.3. I just called in one day to tell them they were wrong about something. And they said, hey, can you call us the next week and the next week? And then I'm like, sure, I'll do it. I was a nervous wreck, but I did it, you know. And, you know, 24 years later, I'm still doing it. It's pretty crazy. I'm their film critic, you know. So everything in good in my life is something that I just took that, you know, little extra step, that risk. And it just happened for me. So I'm always telling people, step out of your comfort zone, because that's where the fun stuff happens.
Absolutely. No, I agree with you. That's what I did with this show, because I'm an introvert. I'm not going to get it, but I like to talk to people about books and things. So when I get to talking about them, I have no loss of words. So absolutely. So your background, though, was journalism before you started.
Right. I did have a degree. Yeah, I have a degree in journalism and started writing for cable magazines not too long out of college. I think I'd had my first kid and then I started writing for cable magazines. I figured after I had a kid, I could do anything.
Right.
And I worked at a bank. I wasn't so great as a bank person at all. Me and numbers and money, it's just a joke that they hired me in the first place. That was my first job out of college. And then after I had my baby, I was like, I'm really going to go after my dreams. And so I started writing for a cable magazine and they kept getting bought out by bigger companies. And eventually I was working for Tribune Media and then they got bought out by somebody. And then I went to work for their competition, FYI Television. And so it's just crazy that, you know, this has been such a long ride on this, you know, TV and film thing. I don't know. Still, some days I'm like, how did this happen? You know, it's kind of funny.
Well, you like you said, when they arose and, you know, you weren't too shy about it. So that's something that I have to say, that meeting you out with you, you kind of get that vibe off you, and it inspires people around you to want to seek this and make sure you're opportunities when they come up in our lives. So thanks for that, because I think you rub off on people.
Aw, thank you. That I love that. I'm just me, and I want everybody to are you there? Okay, good. Sorry. There was like a weird flash of light. I've been watching that show Beyond, right? And the kid makes like all the lights go off and everything. It freaked me out for a second. The lights went out for a second, but we're still here. That's all good. But I'm just me, and I want to hopefully inspire people. Like, I don't set out to do that, but I want you to understand that if you have dreams, there's no reason. I am living proof that you can go after anything and make it happen for yourself.
Do your kids your kids are all grown, right?
Yeah. Okay. I look like I'm 12. And I sound like I'm 12, but I do. I have grown kids and I have a granddaughter, and then I was lucky enough that my daughter-in-law brought three amazing kids into the family. So I was like an Instagrandma, and then and then the baby came around. Yeah, so we have teenagers, grandchildren who are teenagers now, but they are the world's greatest kids. Like, they have an amazing mom, and she married my amazing son, and it's just an amazing family. I'm so proud of all of them, really. And and none of them are writers. Well, the youngest, her youngest might be. He I bought him a journal, and he's writing a book as we speak.
Oh, awesome. Your kids big readers?
Yeah, most of the family is big readers, except for my husband. He reads the newspapers and sports stuff, but that's about it. He's only read a little bit. Well, he read my first book, and the only reason he read it is I was up for 2 reader awards, which you probably don't know what that is, but it's like the Oscars of the romance world, basically.
Right, yes.
And so this is my first book, and I'm up for these big awards, and everybody was really proud of me, and he's like, I'm coming to Atlanta to this awards show and yada. And I'm like, no, that's okay. It's my time to hang out with my writer friends, right? But he really wanted to come. And so it's so funny. He was on the plane reading my book. He gets to the hotel. I had actually been in LA, hadn't seen him for an entire month. He gets to the hotel room and he's like, sometimes you scare me. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, I read your book. I'm like, you read my book? Like, what did you think? And I was kind of afraid to ask, because my husband, if anything, my husband is very honest. I think my kids might be listening. They will agree with me. And he's very, very blunt, very honest. And I was kind of afraid. And he's like, it was really funny. I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would. And I was like, well, why did you read it? And he's like, I was afraid someone might ask me a question and I didn't want to look like an idiot. I thought that was so funny you say, you know, he's a hoot. He really is. We've been together, I don't know how long, like 33 years we've been married, but we've been together longer than that because we met in college. It's, you know, one of those freshman college romances. Well, I was a freshman. He was a junior. So, yeah.
That's awesome. That's a love story in itself.
In it,
you can write romance.
Well, it's you know, 33 years of marriage is hard, and we've just gone through a home renovation that really tested both of us. But I mean, our reno guy was, let me be straight, he was awesome. But it's just the, you know, everything, the dust, the everything that you're having to deal with, and, you know, living with your dogs in one room, you know, that's it can be a bit much sometimes. But we're done tomorrow. I'm so excited we can sort of move our furniture back in, and it's very
awesome.
Yeah.
That was very fast, too.
Yeah.
I have people whose houses months and months and months. So,
a friend of mine today was just telling me that they just got their kitchen remodeled, and it took 6 months. And I was like, oh, my goodness. This guy did my whole downstairs and my upstairs guest bath in a month. You know, everything.
Wow.
Like, everything is new. The floors, everything. Walls, everything. We gutted the place. So, yeah, it's awesome.
Well, yeah, you need to recommend him out because that's pretty fast. That's, like, super fast.
I will. He's awesome. I should tell everybody. His name is Luis, but it's Joshua Remodeling. And he and his crew are just awesome. And they're very nice and very concerned with doing a really great job, which I love. And my husband's a perfectionist. I mean, like, to the nth degree. And even he's pleased. So there you go.
Oh, there you go. Well, you complete. You're the wife that needs pleased, but yeah, I understand.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that looks pretty. I'm good. You know, and he's like, it needs to be one angle this way. I'm like, whatever, Dave.
So, okay, let's talk about your writing journey. You said you sat down and wrote the book. It was terrible. You fixed it. What did you decide to do? When did you decide to do something with that and, like, start looking for, you know, publication and the whole bit?
Well, I have a really interesting road to publication story. So my journey was helped a great deal by my next-door neighbor who moved in, and I don't ever go meet the neighbors. I'm like the neighborhood vampire. I never go outside. But my kids and my husband know. They know all the gossip. My kids and my husband, they do. They know everyone and all the gossip and people's names. I don't. But these kids, I was watching them move in. I was working, and I was working at home, and I saw this cute little family moving in. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go over and say hello. They're our neighbors. I should be nice. And I made myself be nice, right? That's just sad. So I took a poinsettia over there, and it was right before Thanksgiving, I remember. And I knocked on the door. It's a cute couple, just adorable. Britta and Kern Coleman, just the cutest people in the world, and very sweet. And Britta and I started talking, and she's like, I was like, well, I work at home. She's like, well, what do you do? I said, I'm a columnist. And she's like, I'm a columnist. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And it was just one of those moments where we had so much in common. She had just written her book. She was about 6 months ahead of me on everything, mm-hmm. On that journey. And so she sort of guided me along. I mean, it was just like the universe said, you're going to be a writer now. Like, you're going to write books. Cause it was just like, it just clicked together. She took me to my first conference, taught me how to talk to people, introduced me to Jodi Thomas, who's a well-known historical and contemporary romance writer, who became my mentor. And she's she's a lot of folks' mentor, but Jodi was the first time I was at her house. And I read in front of a group of people for the first time, and these were all published writers. And Rita had already told me it was her old critique group, and Jodi was in it. She said, now, they might not let you read, so don't be offended. I'm like, oh, no. Well, then they wanted me to read, and I'm like, oh, no, I'm good. I don't need to read my silly little book to you. At all. I'm good. And they was like, no, we want to, you know, they're very kind people. All these girls in Amarillo, Jennifer Archer, just really lovely people. Anyway, mm-hmm. So I read my little pages, and Jody's looking at me, and I'm like, she thinks I suck. I know my face was just solid red, embarrassed, right? And she's like, Candy, you're going to be published within the year. And then Jody introduced me to the woman who became my first agent, and then introduced that agent to the woman who became my first editor. So it was just like one of those things that, like I said, the universe and very lovely people were incredibly kind and helped me. So that's kind of how it all happened. From the time I wrote, which was not the first book that got published, my second book is the one that got published first, which was my Charmed and Dangerous series. It was 18 months, which is incredibly short But I also belong to a really fantastic critique group here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the DFW Writers Workshop. If you're in this area and you're a writer, you need to be hanging out with these people every Wednesday night. They are serious. There's hundreds and hundreds of published books coming out of that group. And they sort of, they're tough. I mean, like, I cried on the way home. The first time I read, I didn't cry in front of them, but I cried on the way home. And I was scared to go back, but I learned so much. And I swear they are the reason I was published so fast. Between them and Britta really guiding me and teaching me, that's the reason I was published so quickly. And, you know, it's just, I think you have to surround yourself with really talented people and really open yourself up to learning. Don't think you know everything. And your journey will probably happen a little bit faster. I see that with writers that I mentor as well. You know, if they're open to change, if they're open to learning, I still take classes. You know, I teach all over the world, but I still take classes as well. I learn something new from people all the time.
And because it's a living art, you know, you really are living it as you're, you know, and every, I mean, you can look through Jodi Thomas's books and look at her beginnings and look at this, how much she's grown as an author as well. And her voice kind of changes and
She's the queen. Jodi Thomas is the queen of characterization. No one does, and I'm serious, no one does characters the way she does. She makes them come so alive on the page. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I admire her. But you're right, and she'd be the first one to tell you that as well, how much she's grown as an author. And me too. I can't, people want me to finish my Charmed and Dangerous series, and I have to read the older book because it's been a while since I've written in that series, and I really wanted to do a fun Christmas story for everyone. And I started reading my old writing. I was like, oh, my goodness. And people still love those books. We're just really tough on ourselves, right?
Right.
As writers, and I know I've grown, and I look at what I did before, and I still love those stories and those characters, but I want to totally rewrite all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and your journey is kind of, though it's different than a lot of people's, but networking is such a huge thing in publishing, the publishing world, and that's why so many people go to these conferences and they make the connections and get to know people and learn from each other and find a good mentor and things like that. And you've been really good about that. And I know that Entangled as a publisher, they're very good about mentoring their authors and bringing them along as well too.
Yeah. It's something we really believe in. Like we have conferences, in Vegas, every other year or so. We may do one in Atlanta this year. And we teach classes and try to keep our authors up on what's selling and keeping them viable. Right. And, I work with authors who, you know what, let's try, you know, this market is thinking just a bit, let's try to put you in here. And, you know, I've had some really successful folks, or some folks be really successful with that. Victoria Davies being one. She has an indulgence that is doing really well right now. And she moved in from paranormal. And her paranormal books are amazing. Like, I love her world she built. But we were seeing just a little bit of a dip, you know, a year or so ago in paranormal. So we're like, let's slide you into this contemporary romance world of indulgence. And she is just doing so well. And I love that. You know, I like working with people and teaching people and bringing them along. If they're game, I'm here for them.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, it doesn't hurt your career either to make them successful. So
well, I'll you something, and I'd rather talk about this stuff than my own books, I'll be honest with you, because I think it's so important for people to understand that networking isn't about what can this person do for me, right? Networking is about just meeting people and loving books together and things like that. Because something that happened, you know, from Jody being so kind to me and me being, you know, kind to her as well, so that she recommended me to someone, right? I wasn't planning on that. That just happened, and we just happened to be in a place at a time. And the same thing with our publisher, Liz Peltier. So I didn't know this until after I started working for Entangle. But she had taken some of my classes, and she's like, you were always so good to the authors and really encouraging. And she's like, I just loved you for that. I didn't know you. And then she said I had met her at a conference, and I didn't know who she was, but I was super sweet and asked her how she was doing and if she was having a fun time. And I don't remember that. You know, I really don't. I don't remember. But she remembered that. And then years later, I see her on Twitter asking about steampunk stuff. And I'm like, oh, I wrote a short story for FedCon here in Dallas, a great convention. And I was like, I can maybe turn that into a novella or something for you. And she's like, oh, absolutely. And from that, here we go, you know, really great. You know, not only do I have books with them, but also working for the company, which has grown tremendously. And it's just such a great company to work for.
I agree. And I've loved watching Entangle grow from, I think it was it like 2011 when the first teen books were coming out, and it's just amazing what it's come to now.
I'm very proud of what Liz has created. And like you said, it's a well-oiled machine now, but she's also really fast and constantly changing and always looking at trends and where she sees the publishing marketplace going and staying on top of things. Like, she's just brilliant that way. And I love being a part of that brilliance, and I sort of feed off that and think about the world differently. And so I'm, you know, everybody's like, why are you editing? You know, you have this whole writing career, and it's just like, it's a whole different sort of thing. It sort of satisfies the business side of my head, where everything else is more the creative side.
We're talking about the creative and what's popular, what's trending. Do you find that the writing, the things that are hot at the time reflect what's going on in popular culture in the entertainment industry as well? Or is it kind of a two-sided sword? Or?
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of times you'll see a lot of adaptations, right, from books to movies. And those are the years where Hollywood is trying to do something that's not the sequel to the last blockbuster. They're trying to so you'll see that a lot of times. Where there are, all of a sudden you'll see, oh my gosh, it seems like every book is being adapted into a movie. And then you have years like last year where, you know, not so much the case, you know, it was a lot of and I love these movies, don't get me wrong, Avengers and things like that. And which is great. Lots of superheroes. I'm all about superheroes. I love them. But then you see something like La La Land, which is not an adaptation, but, you know, something really fresh and wonderful. And so you might see that spin off into a book some way, you know. I think they feed each other, Hollywood and books and everything artistically. As far as society, you know, that's a whole different ballgame. Like, we saw a lot of things. Some things took a tumbler, and some things just shot through the roof on through this whole political campaign and all of that.
Right.
And so we saw a lot more. We saw sci-fi and fantasy pick up because I think people just wanted to get away from the real world a bit and sort of lose themselves. I don't like to talk about politics or anything, but they really do affect the way people feel, right? I had to get off Facebook because I just couldn't take it anymore. And people were so angry and mean to one another, and that bothered me a lot. It was affecting me personally, you know, like my physical health, because I can't handle negativity like that. So, but you see that in publishing, you'll see, and we're going to see paranormal was on a bit of a downslide the last 3 years, and we're already seeing it pick up because people want that kind of fantasy, but also, like, and this is what Joss Whedon did so well, where, you know, it's telling a story and it seems like it's a monster, but it's really a metaphor, right? So that's one of the things I learned from him. And as far as writing is concerned, is that you can take those really scary real stories and, you know, turn it into some kind of fantasy type thing, and it's easier for people to digest, right? But then at the same time, the super sexy contemporary romances, we're having great luck on Embrace with our new adult line. It's Liz just told me tonight, it's one of our best-selling lines now at Entangled, and I've been really focused on acquiring not just super sexy, but really hardcore, wonderful romances, like epic romances kind of thing, or funny, you know, fun kind of books that make people smile, you know, that sort of thing. And that's one of the things I love about our company, is we have, a little bit of something for everyone. Our team books as well. So I think vampires are on the upswing. I think that you're going to, I mean, they never really go away, but somebody will find a different way to do it. So I think you're going to see that probably in the next 12 months, that sort of thing pick up, and a lot more. Shifters never went away. Shifters have always done really well, but I think you're going to see different types of shifters, more bears and things like that. And then the super sexy romances. And then with young adult, I think we're going to see a lot more kind of really different type of stories that we haven't seen before. I had two come in that I am very excited about to talk about them, because we just acquired them and they haven't been announced yet. But these are stories I've never seen anything like them. And I read a lot. So I'm very excited about this book.
So are they contemporary? Are they more of a...
No, they're actually they're young adults, I would say. Maybe contemporary fantasy. It's like a whole new genre. I don't even know how to explain them. Yeah, they're really awesome. And the new adult, that's kind of the same thing. It's sort of got some time travel and stuff in it. That's just really cool, the way they told the story. Yeah.
When they kind of blend, you know, and mix together and make it fun. I mean, you know, some of the most successful there are like that. So,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked a whole lot about, I'm going to put the number 347-633-9609 if you want to call in to speak to Haven. But let's talk about your writing now. Now that we've talked about what we talk about, and we put out Branded back in September, I think.
Yeah, that's my sexy cowboy book. I love that book. I love those characters so much. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
And then you the came out already, the Christmas.
Yeah, it came out in November. I think November 1st or so. Yeah, Christmas with the Marine. I always say a Marine, but it's the Marine.
Yeah,
that's my last in that series of my Marines, that group of guys. I love them so much. It's like I had to say goodbye to family members in a way. But it's really fun. I don't know about you, but I just love Christmas stories, period. I will read anything that's a Christmas story. Doesn't matter genre, anything. I just love, I like happy endings. There are some Christmas books that are not very happy at the end. But yeah, I wanted to write something that was really just fun, the romance, with a very happy ending. And that's what I tried to do with Christmas with the Marine. And I like my guys. I write a certain kind of hero, and it's same thing with Branded. They're super alpha kind of guys, right? Super strong. They're intelligent and enlightened. But, of course, they do stupid guy stuff, right? Because they're two men. They can't help it. They just can't help it. But they're very – I like enlightened alpha heroes. That's, like, my favorite hero to write and my favorite hero to read. And so you'll see that. That's a through line. And I like kick butt chicks. Like, I like women who can stand toe-to-toe with these alpha dudes. And, you know, every once in a while, especially in the Charmed and Dangerous series, she had to save her men quite often. But I love that, right? And so both of these books, one's a hero, is the hero in Christmas with the Marine, of course, it's a Marine. And again, guy in a, you know, uniform, come on. I mean, just the sexiest thing in the whole wide world. But I also like writing about these guys who are putting themselves out on the line. And I tried to really pull in some through lines of stories I heard from friends. I have readers whose husbands are in the armed forces and have told me stories. And I tried to weave a lot of those into what I do. Very personal, like some were injured in, one was injured in a helicopter crash, and another one came back with terrible PTSD and almost lost his family and because of that. And, you know, just a lot of that sort of thing. I like to weave that in. And with the cowboy story, that was very much based on a bit of my own personal history, summers in East Texas with my grandparents and the kind of people that lived and worked around there. So everything that I write has a little bit of me in it, as well as is usually has some kind of personal connection. The people are fictional and all that, but I have to have some kind of, even if it's a, like my vampire books, Take It Like a Vamp in those books, I have to have some kind of personal connection with the story and the characters. Like, it means something to me for some reason.
Yeah. And that, you know, that's, they come across as very authentic to the reader, and, you know, your voice comes through pretty well. So, yeah.
Well, that made my day. Thank you. I heard that. That came through. Thank you. Well, that's the thing. You know, I write like I talk. And people, I have Robert Philpott, who's one of the writers of the Star-Telegram, journalist over there. It's our Fort Worth newspaper. Sorry about that. I just assume everybody knows everything, right? And he told me, he's like, I loved your book, but I could hear you reading it to me. It was so much your voice. And I was like, that's actually a compliment. I'm sorry
that
we weirded you out. But yeah, so that makes my day. And that people think these characters are still real, that's important to me. And I work really hard on that. I keep my plots pretty simple so I can really focus on the characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, I mean, some people write with a very intricate plot and maybe less depth in the character. And that's okay if that's what their voice brings.
Yeah.
High concept.
Yeah. I do try to do something that's high concept, but for me, high concept is something that feels very familiar but has a twist. Right? That's what I try to do. I might try to do a enemies to lovers story, but I'll put a really great twist on it. I agree with you. And that's what I love. Like, I could give five authors a book idea and every one of them would write it differently, you know,
right.
And have a different take on it. And I love that. I love that, you know, I love that kind of variety when I'm reading and when I'm working with authors. I work with a lot of different kinds of authors. They don't all sound the same. So I love
right.
that.
Well, and on the flip side of that, I always say this on the show, everybody reads a different book because your own background story, your own life experiences play into how you read that book and what you get from it. So even your five authors, just one author given to five different people, they're going to read the same story, but it's a different story to them.
Exactly. People, you know, and people read things on different levels. Like I have people who made my night one night. I was really down in the dumps about something. I can't remember what it was. And I got an email from a reader who said, oh my God, I read Charmed and Dangerous, and the relationship she had with the guy with Alzheimer's reminded me of, and she's like, I was bawling through most of it and laughing at the same time. And the reason I wrote that, all of that, was because my grandmother had just died from complications of Alzheimer's. And I put, literally died while I was writing this book. And I put everything I was feeling into that book, and it resonated with this reader and several others. And so I was like, I'm just going to keep putting all my emotions in. So this has become my therapy, you know, writing has become my therapy. Yeah.
And reading is therapy for some people as well. So it works out, like, it works out good for everybody. So just keep reading and writing.
Exactly.
That's why librarians we're just pushers.
I love you. You're my favorite people. You know, I have a book. I have a book about a librarian. It's a spinoff of my Charmed and Dangerous series, Like a Charm. I almost couldn't think of the name of this. When you write like 30 books, you start to forget your titles. But Like a Charm, and she is a librarian for dead people as well as live people. So I love librarians. A lot of my friends are librarians. I think I'm just drawn to people who love books, maybe.
Yeah, probably, yes. Probably so. So what do you have? Well, you've got the Christmas with the Marine out, and Brandon's not that.
Yeah. This year, yeah, I think I have 5 books out this next year. Two YAs and then a bunch of contemporary romances. I should know dates, and one of my friends who works with me is listening, and he's like, I can't believe you don't have your titles and dates. I can't tell you a single title or a date. I'm so bad at this stuff. I love talking about other people's stuff, never my own, right? That's just the way I am. But if you just keep up on the website or just follow me on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, I'm on Snapchat, but I can't remember my password right now, so it's been a while. that was going to be a lot on Snapchat. I don't know why. But yeah, if you just follow me on those, you can kind of keep up with the books. And yeah, I took 2 years off. I got my master's, right, in humanities. Because creative writing just seemed too easy. So I got a master's in humanities. Really hard, but worthwhile in the end. And I felt like it really opened up my world doing that. I love school anyway. I would go
me
back
too.
To my PhD. Yeah, I'd go back
me
to my
too. I need a sugar daddy.
my husband told me he'd kill me if I went back to school without everything I have going on right now. But I took 2 years off from writing, but I had written 11 books. In 1 year, and so those sort of like two years worth of books, so no one knew I took 2 years off, but yeah, I'm back in it, and I'm having so much fun. Like, I also forgot it was my therapy. Like, my kid had to remind me of that. Mom, you need to start writing again. I'm like, why? He's like, you're really cranky. I was like, oh. And then I started working on a little project that weekend, and oh my gosh, I was like, oh yeah, this is the whole other side of me. I need to be doing this. So yeah, lots more coming from me next year.
Awesome. Well, that's you've got the fullest plate of anybody I know. So but you also have the most energy of anybody I know, except my son, who has more than anybody. We could like stick wires in him and power Houston, but. But yes, I just don't know how you do it. You are you're truly inspirational. Especially, I wish I had your energy, and you're just so positive for everybody. And anyway, I'll shut up. I'm just doing like a gloomy thing on you. But yes, no, it's wonderful. No, really.
I've had a rough couple of days. You can gush all you want, lady.
Well, it's weird when you, like you were saying, when you meet somebody and it kind of changes your perspective on everything for a while. And October, I've just had this kind of very positive outlook on, you know, she can do all this crap. I can write a book. I
yeah.
Get it done. I squeeze it in and figure it out. You know, if it's, I can get it done. So I've, yeah. So,
good.
Thank you.
I was kind of mean to you. I was like, you think you're busy, just email me. I'll tell you my schedule tomorrow. And you just be like, whatever, lady. I'm glad.
Yeah, well, because when we sit around, you know, and authors have a tendency to do this because we're usually introverted and very self-defecating, I don't know. But, you know, to sit and wallow in our own, I don't have time, I don't have this, so... to meet somebody who has a hook on it that, you know, can give you a fresh perspective. So
well,
everybody take heed.
I'll tell you something. Don't be dismayed. Every one of us, I don't care how famous or how many gazillion books you've sold, every time Nora Roberts or Jodi Thomas sits down to write, they think they suck, and this is the time people are going to figure it out. They tell you that. They want to throw up every time they sit down and write a book, right? So it's a common thing for writers just to feel like, so I have to, like I said, I just start writing, and if it sucks, it sucks. You know, I can go back and fix that, but you can't fix a blank page, so.
I like that. Quoting. Okay. Well, they can also sign up for a newsletter on your website. Is that you have it on your?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. And I do with, I think it's Writer's Space, I do monthly prizes and stuff. So we have not been doing a lot on the free workshop, but we have some classes coming up from other folks who are going to be teaching this next year. Jessie, who sort of helps me keep things going there, and her gang are going to be teaching some classes free. And then I also teach classes, and all of that, of course, is on the website.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your evening and your newly renovated home to speak with me tonight. and just best of luck to you with everything, because you're really the busiest person I've ever met.
Well, thank you. And I had a lot of fun. I miss you. Like, I met you. It's like one of those things where you meet someone and you're like, oh, I wish we lived closer. I would totally go out to coffee and dinner with her. And so I'm glad we got to chat tonight. And I really am grateful that you had me on. And best of luck with everything. And you better be writing, because you promised me a story I really want to read.
Yes, I did.
Thank you.
I've got several in the works, so someday I'll get them done. I'm going to get them done. and if I'm up in Dallas, which I go up frequently, my mom's right now for a while. So I'll give you some heads up.
All right. You should. We'll go have some food. That's my favorite thing to do is food.
Thank you so much for being on. And I can't wait to read Green. I've downloaded it. I'm ready to go. For my story.
Thank you.
And holding out. Right. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening tonight and putting up for 2 whole hours. My wonderful guests. You can find me on Facebook as The Librarian on Authors on the Air. I'm on Twitter, HOT_librarian_, Instagram, with the Pope _. Has been recorded and will be available as a podcast from the Authors on Air website, SoundCloud, and iTunes, and you can find Authors on the Air Global Radio Network online at authorsontheair.com. And we're all over the social media world. We also have a book review and a new web page, so out there. Thanks for letting me share my romance with you, and I will see you next Thursday at 9 p.m. right here on The Librarian. Sweet.